Next week, we'll be getting back into our series in Romans. We looked at the first half of Romans a few months ago and left off at the end of chapter 8. We're going to go back and go through the rest of the book. It's going to be encouraging to hear from the Lord through Romans. But between the series, I wanted to just hit some other places in the Bible. So last week, we looked at a proverb, and today I want to look at a psalm. And just let this help us to pray. Let's pray with David and see what happens when the Lord hears our prayers. So if you could open up your Bibles to Psalm 6, let me ask for the Lord's help, and we'll hear from his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've spoken to us through your word. Thank you that you teach us what's true. You reveal yourself to us. You reveal ourselves to us through your word. I pray that we could receive your word as the word of God today. I pray that you would encourage your people as they hear. Help us to pray like this. And we just ask for your help today. I pray that your spirit would work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our family recently read the novel Where the Red Fern Grows, which maybe you've read or seen a movie. We're going to get to the movie soon, I hope. But this is about a boy named Billy and his two hunting dogs, Red Bone Hounds. And they hunt raccoons in the woods in the Ozark Mountains, okay? And there's an awesome scene where they've been out in the middle of the night hunting, and it's a pitch black night, and they can't see anything, and it's in the winter, and one of the little hound dogs falls through the ice in the river and is just, like, gripping a little bit of ice with her claws, you know? Like, her nails are, like, just barely hanging on, and she's in the icy water, and the little boy, Billy, little boy is, like, 13 or so, he can't, it's, the ice is, you know, too thin for him to walk out to her, and he can't even see her because it's so pitch black, and this happens a lot in this book. He just starts crying. That's one of the best things about this book is how this boy cries so much while he's hunting. It's just so moving to me. He's so, like, overwhelmed with passion and emotion out shooting raccoons in the woods. And but he loves his dogs, and his little dog might drown, and he's in distress. She's in distress, and he does what we're made to do, and he cries out to God. And it says in the book that it's like he says, he's narrating, he's like, I made every promise I could think of to God, you know, every promise that a 13-year-old boy could make to God. And I cried out for God's, you know, mercy and rescue in every way that I knew how as a 13-year-old. And if you want to find out how God rescues the little dog, you will have to read the book. Okay, I'm not going to give that away. But sometimes we also find ourselves in trouble, right? We find ourselves in distress for all kinds of different reasons. I mean, it's just part of being human, right? There's going to be times where we are in distress. And if it feels natural in those times, if it feels human, if it feels normal to call out to God in prayer, it's because it is, you know? That's what God has made us to do. He's made us to call out to him in prayer. He's made us to be people who are creatures, and he's the creator. And we know that we can't fix everything, and he can, and we are just made to cry out to him in prayer. If it doesn't feel like that to you, then something's gotten messed up. You know, your wires have gotten crossed. But we're made to cry out to God when we're in distress, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to pray when we're in distress. We want to learn how to pray to God when we're feeling distressed, when we're in trouble. So that's what this psalm is about, Psalm 6. What should we do when we're in distress? We should pray. How should we pray when we're in distress? If you look at the psalm, at least in my translation, they've broken it up into four verses. It's like a song in four verses, four stanzas. And each one of those stanzas has a certain heart attitude. Like David is approaching God with an attitude of his heart. And I want to learn from those four attitudes. I want those four attitudes to shape our prayers as we cry out to God. So let me read the psalm and we'll talk about these four attitudes. For the choir director, with stringed instruments, according to Sheminith, a psalm of David. We don't know what the word Sheminith means. It might be like the name of the melody of the song that he wrote, okay? Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are shaking. My whole being is shaken with terror. And you, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, rescue me, save me because of your faithful love. For there is no remembrance of you in death. Who can thank you in Sheol? I am weary from my groaning. With my tears I dampen my bed and drench my couch every night. My eyes are swollen from grief. They grow old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all evildoers, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea for help. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and shake with terror. They will turn back and suddenly be disgraced. This is God's word. David is clearly in distress. There's an indication that he's physically ill. If you look in verse 2, it talks about how he's weak. He talks about how his bones are shaking. Looks like he's scared. In verse 3, he says his whole being is shaken with terror. The literal Hebrew word is like, my soul is shaken with terror. Okay, looks like he's in danger. In verse 4, he cries out to God. He says, rescue me. In verse 5, he talks about his death. He's scared that he's going to die. Okay. In verse 8, it talks about evildoers. So it's like he's under threat from evildoers. In verses 10 and in 11, David talks about his enemies. So he's got enemies. He's also sorrowful. He's sad. In verse 6, it says he's groaning. In verse 7, he talks about his swollen eyes because he's crying so much. And also, it looks like he sinned. David, he's confessing his sins, or he's confessing that he has sinned. It looks like he's facing the Lord's discipline. So if you look at verse 1, he says, do not rebuke me in your anger. Like, why would he say that? Well, he's committed a sin against God, and God is going to discipline him for what he's done. And then he keep going. He says, do not discipline me in your wrath. So he's facing God's correction, God's discipline. God is angry about his sin. So he's asking God to have mercy on him. We don't know the precise historical circumstances that are the background to this psalm. We don't know his precise personal circumstances, like when he wrote this. And at the beginning of verse 3, there's a head, or Psalm 3, there's a heading on that begins the psalm, and it says that David wrote this when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. So this is towards the end of his reign, and his own son stages a coup, okay, and rebels against him, and David's on the run, and he's crying out to God in that psalm. I don't know if this is the same time of his life. Early in David's life, he was running from Saul before he was, you know, he'd fully taken over as king. God had anointed him as king, but he hadn't taken the throne yet. And Saul, who was the king at the time, was threatened by David, and Saul's trying to kill him. There's all these, you know, stories in the Bible about David literally dodging spears that Saul is throwing at him, and they're like landing in the wall, you know, bah, 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 and he's like ducking, you know, like I don't know if that's the exact circumstance. There are times in David's life where he faced God's discipline because of his sin, like his famous sin against Bathsheba and against Uriah, and after that, David faced God's discipline. I don't know if that's when he wrote this psalm. I'm sure David committed other sins, probably pretty much every day. So I don't know if, you know, what the exact circumstances were. But whatever the reason for his distress, and apparently there are multiple reasons that he feels distressed, David begins his prayer with an attitude of humility. So let me read those first three verses again. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are shaken. My whole being, my soul is shaken with terror. And you, Lord, how long? So David doesn't start the psalm and say, Lord, I'm a decent person. This isn't fair. I don't deserve this. How does he start it? He directs his distress humbly to the Lord. He's acknowledging that the Lord is in control, and he takes this posture of repentance, penitence, you know. He's asking God for mercy. He asks God, he says, how long? And when he asks that, he's saying, how long till you show up and fix things, Lord? That's a good prayer, right? You ever feel like praying that? God, I'm in trouble right now. How long? How long are you going to take? You know, that's okay to pray that. That David prayed it. How long till you come? Okay? When we're in distress, we should also approach God with a humble heart. God's in control. God knows more than we do. We don't have the same control. We don't have the same knowledge. God is good. He loves us. When we're in distress, there could be many reasons that we're in distress. And the main reason oftentimes that we're in distress is not that we've sinned and are facing God's direct discipline. A lot of times when we're in distress, that's not the reason. But when it is the case, when we are facing God's discipline, we should be humble enough to confess that to God and to repent to Him and before Him, right? And even if that's not the main reason we're in distress, none of us is perfect. So when we're in distress, that's the right time to examine our hearts. You know, like David prays in another psalm, you know, examine my heart, Lord, you know, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any sin in me, you know. That's the right time to examine our hearts and confess any sin that we see, you know, anything that we've done or any attitude that's before God that's not the right attitude before Him. It's the right time to look at our own hearts and confess that to the Lord. We should acknowledge the Lord's holiness and ask for His mercy. Ask Him to withhold his discipline from us. That's a good prayer. We should acknowledge his power and ask for his healing. When you're sick, that's a time when we call out to God. I remember times like laying down and feeling terrible and crying out to God, God, will you take this away? You know, that's an okay time. That's a right time to cry out to God. When God intervenes, he can solve anything. So that's when you're in distress, it's the right time to ask him, how long till you show up? And then you wait for him. So when we are in distress, we should approach God with a humble heart. In the next couple of verses, in verses 4 and 5, David appeals to the Lord's mercy. And David is even, it's like he's making an argument for before the Lord. He's like saying, this is why you should save me. Let me give you some reasons, Lord, that you should help me out and deliver me. Okay, let me read those verses again, 4 and 5. Turn, Lord, rescue me, save me because of your faithful love. For there is no remembrance of you in death. Who can thank you in Sheol? Okay. So David doesn't say, rescue me, Lord, because I deserve it. That's not how he prays. Instead, he appeals to the Lord's character. To the Lord's character. He's not talking about himself. He's talking to God. He's not saying, look at my character and why you need to save me. He's looking at God's character and he's saying, you're the kind of God who saves, because this is who you are. Save me. He appeals to the Lord's faithful love, his mercy, his, you know, the Hebrew word chesed, you know, his faithful love. God has made promises to David. Early in David's life, God promised that he would be Israel's king. Late in David's life, God promised David that his dynasty would be eternal, that there would be a king on David's throne forever. So God's made promises to him. And David is appealing to God's promises, to his character, to God's faithful love. He says in verse 5, he says, if I go down to Sheol, and that's like a poetic way of talking about death. If I die, if I go to the place of the dead, if you let me die, Lord, how can I praise you then? That's what David says. Now, of course, God gets glory no matter what, right? Whether we live or die, God's going to get glory. But David's saying, don't you want to keep me alive so I can join your people in praising you on earth a little longer? Don't you want to keep me alive for that? That's the appeal that David makes. So what do we see about David here? David has a heart to worship God. He praises God for God's character, and he desires to keep on praising God. He wants to stay alive so he can praise him. And when we're in distress, we should also approach God with a heart of worship. Remember God's faithful love. Remember God's promises to you. What has God promised to you? He said, the work that I started in you, I'm going to bring it to completion. I'm going to finish the work I started in you. So we can appeal to God on the basis of his promises. God, you're working in me, and you're not finished with me yet. Will you keep on working in me? Will you keep on making me into the image of your son, Jesus? Will you rescue me and keep it up? You haven't finished what you started. Remember God's faithful love. Remember his promises to you. Continue to worship him. Praise him in your distress. Keep on praising him in the assembly of God's people, in your conversations with the people around you, in your prayers. Have a heart of worship before the Lord. And now in the next stanza of the psalm, in the next verse, in verses 6 to 7, David describes how his distress is affecting him physically and emotionally. So let me read that. Verse 6. I am weary from my groaning. With my tears I dampen my bed and drench my couch every night. I love the King James there. It says, I make my bed swim. Okay. My eyes are swollen from grief. They grow old because of all my enemies. Okay, we'll stop there. So David's describing his sleepless nights, his sorrowful nights. He says he's groaning. He said his bed is drowning in his tears. And then he gets up and he goes to the living room and he lies on the couch and he floods the couch with his tears too. You know, he's like pacing around the house, crying out to God. His eyes feel old. He's like, I've cried more tears than a 120-year-old man. He's cried in his whole life. And I cried them this week, you know. My eyes feel so old, I don't know if they can cry anymore. But my bed is drowning, you know. David's just describing his pain. In this section, it says it's because of his enemies. But if you look at the whole psalm, he has physical pain. He has sorrow over his sin. He's feeling lonely. He's crying because it's hard to wait for God. So what can we learn from David here? David is being real. He's keeping it real. David is being authentic. He's not holding back. He's expressing all of his hurt and his pain and his sadness to the Lord. He's not sugarcoating it. But he's also doing that as someone who trusts in God. See that? He's pouring out his heart. He's being real about how he's feeling, but he's doing it within this fence of faith. He's staying inside that. He's approaching God, expressing his pain, but from a posture of humility and a posture of faith. There's a couple of dangers that we face when we pray, or when we're feeling distress. One danger is that we won't acknowledge our pain to God. Sometimes we hide it. We even hide it from ourselves, right? Sometimes we try to hide it from God or try to hide it from other people. We try to stay tough. We put on a front. We act like everything's fine. I can handle this. We say, other people have it worse, so I should just suck it up. Okay? But David doesn't do that, right? David pours out his heart to God. He expresses his pain to God. But there's another danger, and that's while we're being real, while we're keeping it real about our pain, we would put the blame on God or that we'd stop trusting in God. Okay? We need to express our pain before the Lord. We need to pour out our hearts to him, but we need to do that as children of God. As we need to pour out our hearts as believers. As God's children. So that's what we learn from this third verse, is we need to be real. But we're real with God from within the fence of faith. And now we look at this last stanza of the psalm. In the last verse, there's a change of tone. And I'm going to guess that the music of this tone, of this song, like it went from a minor key to a major key in this last verse. So look at this last verse, starting in verse 8. Depart from me, all evildoers, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea for help. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and shake with terror. They will turn back and suddenly be disgraced. So in verse 1, David says, how long? How long? And now in this last stanza, he says, the Lord has heard me. He says it twice. You know, the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea for help. Okay? Now, it doesn't sound like the Lord has already healed him. It doesn't sound like the Lord has already rescued him. But David knows the Lord has heard him, and so he's confident that the Lord will act on his behalf. The Lord will rescue him. So David starts talking to he's been talking to God, but now he starts talking to the haters, you know, to the evildoers, to the people that are against him. And he says to them, you leave. You know, he declares that his enemies will be disgraced. He says, God will rescue me. He will keep his promises. Everybody who's eager for my downfall, get out of here. Just go home. You know, it's not happening. God will lift me up. I'm sure of it. I'm confident. I have hope. So David prays, and as he prays to the Lord, he gains hope. By the time you get to the end of the psalm, David has hope. He has confidence in the future because he knows that the Lord has heard his prayer. He knows the Lord will answer according to his character, God's power, his perfection, his faithful love. When we're in distress, we also can lift up our hearts to the Lord in prayer. And we can have hope because we know that God will hear us and God will answer us. Since God is powerful, we can be hopeful. Since God is faithful, we can be hopeful. Since God is in control, we can be hopeful. Since God loves us, we know he loves us. We've seen his love in Christ. We can be hopeful. David's prayer in his distress is a great example for us. In his distress, he prays to God. He lifted his heart up to God, and he believed in God. He believed. He trusted. What did David's faith look like? What was the attitude of David's heart? He was humble. He was worshipful. He was real. And he was hopeful. And that's a beautiful picture of authentic faith, isn't it? In our distress, we can pray like that too. We can have that same faith. So be humble, be worshipful, be real, and be hopeful. This is how Jesus prayed. Jesus had to pray too. Now, Jesus never had sins to confess like David did and we do. But Jesus was also in distress. Jesus was also in pain. He faced God's anger, but it was towards our sin, not his. But he did that trusting in God. Jesus prayed in the garden. He prayed, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But while he prayed that, he also prayed, not my will, but yours be done. So you see how he's expressing his pain, and he's also expressing his trust at the same time. That's what we can do. On the cross, Jesus prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then in the next breath, he prays, into your hands I commit my spirit. So in our distress, let's pray like David prayed, and let's pray like Jesus prayed. Being real about what we're going through, but also trusting in God's deliverance. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for this psalm and just the model it is for us. Help us to pray like this. And I pray for your people here. Some of your people here are in distress right now. And I pray that they would know this same hope, that they would know the same confidence that David expresses in this psalm. I pray that you would lift up their hearts and encourage them, knowing that you will ultimately rescue us. Thank you that this is true. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing.